Daughters of Silence by Rebecca Fiseha. The narrative of Daughters of Silence centers on Desi, a flight attendant for Can Air who finds herself unexpectedly grounded in her birthplace of Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. The story unfolds through a dual timeline, the present-day layover in Addis, 2010, and a series of vivid, often painful flashbacks spanning Desi's childhood in Addis Ababa, her adolescence in Vienna, and her recent life in Toronto. The central conflict revolves around the recent death of her mother, Zimita, referred to as Ema, and the long-buried trauma of sexual abuse inflicted by her adopted brother, Lel, the diversion and the return to Ethiopia. The book opens mid-flight, where Desi is performing her routine duties as a flight attendant on a journey from Johannesburg to Vienna. A volcanic eruption in Iceland has blocked the jet stream with ash, forcing the captain to divert to Addis Ababa Bole International Airport. Desi, who has not set foot in Ethiopia as an adult and on her own, feels an immediate sense of panic. Her mother, a prominent diplomat and former consul general in Toronto, died only a month prior of melanoma. Desi is haunted by the fact that Ema was buried in Toronto at the Scarborough Bluff Cemetery, rather than being returned to Ethiopia as her grandfather, the Shelka, Babae, had demanded. Desi reluctantly takes a taxi to her grandfather's house. She recalls leaving the country at age 8, remembering the Shelka pinning her arms and asking an impossible question, "How do you feel about leaving this land?" At the time, her mother was the only surviving child of the Shelka's 7 children. The 6 brothers had disappeared during the Red Terror. Desi had promised to return in 4 years, a promise that went unfulfilled for nearly 2 decades, the House of Mourning and the memorial program. Upon arriving at the Shelka's gated compound, Desi is met with a theatrical display of grief from a housemaid named Jella, who flings herself at Desi's feet and wails Ema's name. The Shelka is now 87 years old, a frail but still commanding figure who was a patriot, Arbenia, during the Italian occupation. He is currently preparing for Ema's Tezka, the 40-day memorial service. Desi observes 4 old friends of her grandfather: Uncle Whiskey, Uncle Bug, Uncle Pilot, and Uncle ABZ, who are drafting the memorial program. The program serves as a summary of Ema's public life, her education at Addis Ababa University, her marriage to Mesfin Abba, and her rise through the diplomatic ranks in Vienna, Rome, New York, and finally Toronto. Desi notes a discrepancy in the program's epitaph. The translation of a Bible verse alternates between charity and love, a detail her father had fretted over back in Canada. She also discovers a poem in the program attributed to her, which her grandfather actually composed in her name, capturing the voice of the granddaughter he wished she had become. Flashback, the end of Ema and the rift with Lel. The narrative frequently returns to the weeks surrounding Ema's death in Toronto. Ema's cancer, which first appeared as a bad spot, or false kiss of Mariam, on her thigh when Desi was a child, had returned and metastasized. During her illness, Ema attempted a forgiveness project, trying to force a reconciliation between Desi and Lel. She often gave Desi books like The Art of Forgiveness, Loving-Kindness, and Peace, which Desi resentfully accepted but refused to read. Desi's relationship with Lel is defined by cat-like anger and profound avoidance. To the outside world and their community, they are grieving siblings. In reality, Lel was adopted from a village near Hara after being orphaned at 8. Desi's trauma is slowly revealed through memories of checking time, a horrific ritual Lel began when he was 12 and Desi was 5. Under the guise of a game where they would erase imaginary leaves drawn on Desi's skin, Lel systematically abused her. He threatened to kill her if she ever told their parents. Desi did try to tell, in a way. At age 8, she wrote a letter to her Canadian pen pal, Anya, detailing what Lel was doing. She left the letter unsealed for her mother to send, but later found it torn into pieces in Ema's wastebasket. Ema never spoke of the letter, but shortly after, she and Abba took Lel on a pilgrimage to Kalubi Gabriel, which Desi later realized was an attempt at an exorcism or spiritual healing for Lel's sickness. Ema and Abba's refusal to address the abuse openly, opting instead for holy water and verses of repentance, left Desi feeling erased and poisoned, the presence of Jella and the secrets of the Shelka. Back in the present in Addis Ababa, Desi spends her days assisting the temporary cooks and maids Lomi and Abarash while avoiding the constant scrutiny of the mourners. She develops a tense but curious relationship with Jella, who seems to know more about Desi's family than a typical servant. The Shelka continues to pressure Desi about Ema's burial, refusing to accept that she is in the Earth of Strangers. He orchestrates a meeting with Tika. a funeral director specializing in diaspora repatriations. During this meeting, Desi is forced into a surreal speakerphone conversation with Stanley Chan, the funeral director in Toronto, where they discuss the logistics of disinterring and moving Ema's body. Desi plays along with her grandfather's delusion to maintain peace, even though she knows Abba will likely never sign the necessary papers. A pivotal moment occurs when the Shailka sends Desi to fetch photos from his dresser. There, he reveals a hidden stash of letters written by Ema to someone named Yene Abeba. "My flower," the Shailka drops a bombshell, Desi has a sister who is alive and currently in Ethiopia. He claims this sister wants her mother first, before she will meet Desi, the reveal, the letters and the sister. Desi steals the letters and reads them in secret. The first letter, dated 1980, reveals that Ema had an illegitimate child in the city of Desi. Before she met Abba, she was forced by the Shailka to leave the baby behind to resume a life without shame and return to Addis Ababa. The subsequent letters, 1991, 1996, 1998, 2003, show that Ema maintained a secret relationship with this daughter through letters and occasional visits during her diplomatic trips. In the letters, Ema portrays Desi as a troubled and unforgiving daughter, omitting the context of the abuse. As Desi processes this betrayal, she realizes the identity of her sister. Through a series of clues, Jella's overbearing nature, her lack of servant-like deference, and her physical presence in the house, Desi understands that Jella is Yene Abeba. The maid she had been trailing and bickering with is actually her elder sister, hidden in plain sight, the 40-day and the public reckoning. The day of the Tezka, 40-day, arrives. The house is filled with guests, and the air is thick with the scent of roasted coffee and tella. Traditional ale. During the feast, the Shailka's friends share, Tizita, memories, of Ema, carefully omitting her time in Desi. Jella reveals one more secret to Desi. During the Red Terror, the Shailka had hidden Ema inside a tella barrel to save her from the squads. This experience of suffocation in silence defined Ema's life and led to her renaming herself Zimita, Silence. Overcome by the hypocrisy and the weight of the secrets, Desi confronts Jella in front of the assembled guests. She throws the stack of letters onto Jella's lap and declares, "That's my sister." The room falls into a stunned silence. Jella, horrified and shamed, flees the room, and the letters scatter onto the grass. Desi collapses into a, wailing excellently, finally expressing the grief she had suppressed for so long. She is comforted not by her grandfather or her sister, but by Emahoy. An old nun and grand aunt who had previously dreamt of the family's reckoning, reconciliation and the soil of Ethiopia. In the aftermath of the explosion, a quiet understanding emerges between Desi and the Shailka. He admits that he saw Desi and Jella sleeping side by side and realized Ema's final wish, Tobia wanted to be where all her children are. He interprets this not as a demand for a specific burial plot, but as a desire for her daughters to finally know one another. The Shailka finally gives up his demand to repatriate Ema's body, telling Desi to leave things be, and that he has earned his punishment. Desi, in a final act of devotion, gathers a handful of soil from the Shailka's garden, which he blesses. She intends to take this Ethiopian soil back to Toronto and mix it with the earth at Ema's grave. Desi and Jella spend one final day together at the Gion Hotel, a place Ema frequently stayed. Jella reveals the hardships of her own life. Her father was likely killed on the Eritrean front, and her grandparents were deported during the border wars. She had lived for years as a dog leash to this land, while Desi lived the good life abroad. They acknowledge the shared mother, the woman who had to lose both daughters so she could keep them, and Desi promises to help Jella and the Shailka come to Canada for a visit, the final confrontation at Bull Airport. As the ash clears and flights resume, Desi prepares to return to Toronto. Before leaving, she visits her childhood home in the Bull District. She bribes a watchman to let her enter the empty house and stands in the bedroom where her childhood was lost. In the darkness, she stands naked and waits to hear Lael's commands, only to find that the past has no power over her anymore. She leaves the house with a flimsy skeleton key, a symbolic reclaiming of her autonomy. At Bull Airport, while waiting for her flight, Desi sees Lael through the glass of the arrivals area. He has followed her to Ethiopia, desperate and alone in the world, after Abba went on a thinking drive. They meet at an arrivals cafe. Lael attempts to maintain his mask of brotherly concern, but Desi Finalmont confronts him with the truth. Their parents did know what he had done, and his pilgrimage to Kalubi was a failed attempt to exorcise his sickness. Lael breaks down, admitting he wanted to beg for forgiveness for erasing her. Desi is unmoved by his pity. She refuses his apology and tells him to be dead to me. She tosses a bottle of holy water in his face as a final rebuff to the rituals that failed to protect her. The book concludes with Desi walking toward the departure gates. She feels as though she is finally catching up to the before girl. She used to be the child who raced against the speed of airplanes on the Bowl observation deck. As she prepares to soar, she recalls the first line of the broken letter she once wrote to her pen pal, "Nobody know one thing about me." For the first time in her life, the truth has been told, and the world has split open. This summary is for educational purposes only. This audio is exclusively created for AfriNovels.com. Thank you.